Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. When weeping there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. To sing God's praise, then when we'd first begun.
When you said Amazing Grace in that red book, I don't know how. I knew it was page 236. I guess because I've seen it so many times when I was a kid. Clyde, what'd you say? 122? No. You know what that was? He Lives. which is the song Clyde likes a little bit. Pause for a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for what you've done so far and what you're going to do next and what you're going to do tomorrow and the day after and the day after, because I know you're in control of them all. So I just give you this service, Lord. Have your way. Speak through me and in spite of me, and we'll give you all the praise and glory. Amen. Good morning. When I look out here this morning, what I see is I see a room full of overcomers. That's what I see. And God's brought me here this morning to encourage you in that. Now, you know, God tends to speak to me a lot in songs. And about a week ago, I was driving to work in the morning. And sometimes I listen to the radio and sometimes I don't. And I was listening and I heard a song and it started to speak to me. And of course, that switch went off and I knew I was supposed to pay attention. And that song is called Overcomer. And it's by a girl named Mandisa. And I don't sing like Taylor just did, so I won't sing it. So I'm just going to read you the words of it, because sometimes I think when I read you the words, you hear them a little bit better because you're not distracted by the music or the beat, or if it's not the kind of music you like. But when you just get down to the words, that's where the important stuff really is in that song. So this is what the song Overcomer says. She says, staring at a stop sign, watching people drive by, T-Mac on the radio, got so much on your mind, nothing's really going right, looking for a ray of hope. Whatever it is you may be going through, I know he's not going to let it get the best of you. You're an overcomer. Stay in the fight till the final round. You're not going under because God is holding you right now. You might be down for a moment, feeling like it's hopeless. That's when he reminds you that you're an overcomer. You're an overcomer. Everybody's been down, hit the bottom, hit the ground. Oh, you're not alone. Just take a breath. Don't forget. Hang on to his promises. He wants you to know. And then it goes back to you're an overcomer. And then it says, the same man, the great I am. The one who overcame death is living inside of you. So just hold tight, fix your eyes on the one who holds your life. There's nothing he can't do. He's telling you that you're an overcomer. And at the end, she sings, don't quit, don't give in, you're an overcomer. Now, when I found those lyrics on the internet yesterday, at the end of them, it had this scripture, 1 John 5, 4 and 5. It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, I always look to see what Webster has to say about a word. And what Webster said about overcome was, it meant to defeat, to successfully deal with or gain control of, to affect very strongly or severely. Now, you know, on a regular basis, I don't watch any television show on a regular basis, unless you consider baseball a regular basis. But on Sunday mornings, if I have time, if I've gotten up enough early enough and I've gotten dressed, I always like to turn on CBS Morning Show. It used to be Charles Corral, right? For whatever reason, God just tends to talk to me a lot in the stories that they have on that show. I don't know if any of you saw it last Sunday at all, but I did. So I have a question. Since the kids are in here today and they're smart and they're learning at the moment, I have a question for a kid. Do any of you know which country is considered the birthplace of exploration? Tyler, you got a guess? Parker.
Spain.
Okay, anybody else?
I'm guessing China.
Okay. Wrong. Tyler got the right answer. Portugal. There are 140 explorers that came from Portugal. Now, I watched this little 8-minute thing about Portugal last Sunday, and Jack was trying to talk to me in the kitchen, and I thought, Jack, I'm trying to listen to this. But I was also trying to listen to Jack, and I knew I could watch it online, so I didn't worry about it. And I actually sat down yesterday and watched the whole thing a couple of times because I wanted to hear all that they had to say. And some American surfer just set a world record over there a few years ago. He surfed a 78-foot high wave off the shore of Portugal. And they said they even, at times, may be even higher than that. Now, there was a guy on there who was Portuguese, and he said, and by the way, Parker, you were close because Portugal's on the side of Spain, right? Okay. You get a half point. You get a half point. Yeah. But this guy was saying that as a people, the Portuguese have always lived their life facing the ocean with their back to the land, always looking at the water. wondering what's next out there. And they're always been ready to find out. 140 explorers from Portugal will tell you that they've always been willing to find out what's out there. The Romans and the Greeks thought that the world ended at a port that's called Sagres in Portugal. They thought that's where the world ended. Because I guess they got to there and they watched the sun go down over the horizon and they thought that it dove down into the water and possibly even boiled the ocean, is what they thought. So Vasco da Gama, he found a sea route from Portugal to India, which, by the way, is what Christopher Columbus was trying to do when he found his way here. Da Gama succeeded. A man named Bartholomew Diaz, he made it to the Cape of Good Hope at the tip of South Africa from Portugal. Pedro Cabral, he discovered Brazil. And Ferdinand Magellan made the first expedition that went around the world. All Portuguese explorers. Now, a few of the things that aided these Portuguese explorers were, number one, their attitude about the sea and their lack of fear of it. They embraced it. They wanted to see what was next. 80-foot high waves or not. The second thing that aided them was that they had the first accurate maps that were ever made. And it's funny because they said their maps were top secret because no one else had them. And they were illegal to sell because if someone else got a hold of maps, they could do what Portugal was able to do. And they were making a huge amount of money by knowing how to get places and go places and trade with people. Third thing that aided them was their ship. Now, you know, you've probably seen ships from the kind of the 1400s, you know, big ships with big square sail that faces forward. They used a ship that was called a caravel, which was a smaller ship and had triangular shaped sails that were in a line this way on the boat. So they would use the wind, whichever way it was blowing, to send them forward. With a big square sail, you have to have a tailwind to push you that way. With sails going this way, if the wind's blowing sideways or kind of from the back, it'll still get you going in the direction you want to go. So they were so much more accurately able to sail where they wanted to sail. And the fourth thing that aided them, you know, there was money to be made for sure, but they had a strong desire to spread Christianity to whatever was out there or whoever was out there. So what do the Portuguese explorers have to do with us being overcomers? Well, let's look at their four things that aided them, and let's apply them to ourselves. Number one, they turned their face toward the sea with no fear. Now, when I thought about that, I heard a song inside of me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Zechariah 1:3 says, turn unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, we just said they had accurate maps. That was number two. Our map is right here. It's our Bible. It is the words of God, alive and true, written down for us to look at anytime we want. 2 Timothy 3:15 to 17 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works." Number three was the caravel, their ship, that was more agile and it steered more accurately. When we simplify things and we give up the futile attempt at controlling everything in our life, it becomes much easier to follow the leading of the Spirit when we focus solely on God's voice. John 10:27-28 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And number four was their desire to spread Christianity. And I thought, do I really look for ways to spread my faith? Or do I just worry about growing it more? Luke 4:18-19, Jesus read this scripture, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, we all have something that we're trying to overcome right now, because I don't think that ever ends while we're here. So I need to focus on God. I need to read His Word. I need to follow His lead, and I need to pass it on. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." In me ye might have peace. Isn't that what the world's looking for? Yes. They're looking for peace. "In the world ye shall have tribulation." Jesus gives it to us straight. There will be things to overcome. There will be 80-foot high waves in your future. "But be of good cheer." In other words, it's going to be all right. You can trust me, he says. "I have overcome the world." God's statement of supremacy. And that's not supremacy in an obnoxious way. That's supremacy in a "this is the truth" way. "I have overcome the world, all its problems and obstacles. I have overcome, so in turn you shall overcome through me." Revelation 12:11 says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. We have overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We have to believe that. That last part of Revelation 12:11 says, by the word of their testimony. Your testimony will help the truth be revealed to others. Now, I did a wedding yesterday afternoon, and I got in my car to drive over there, and I turned on the radio, and I was listening to a public radio station, and somebody was talking, and I just left it there and started listening. And it was an Italian man, and he was talking about going to Africa because he wanted to help with the problem of poverty. And he said he went there and he planted a bunch of vegetables in the very fertile soil that was there in Africa where he was. And he said they grew these huge tomatoes. And, you know, Italian people are classically known to be good with tomatoes, and they can appreciate a tomato, I would say. So he was very impressed with these huge tomatoes they were able to grow over there, right? I mean, he was thrilled by this huge tomato. The only problem was that the hippos came and ate all the vegetables, and they crushed up the garden as they were coming in and out, because hippos weigh, I'm taking a guess, what? 6,000 pounds, 5,000 pounds, I don't know. They're extremely heavy. He said that everything that they tried to do to help with poverty failed over there. And he said then he realized what their problem was. They hadn't talked to the local people and asked them where they needed help. They just started helping. Making an all-you-can-eat vegetable smorgasbord for hippos didn't help the people. There was nothing wrong with anything that they did. Those people just weren't ready for that yet. So, like I said, everyone here is in the process of overcoming something. And you've all already overcome things in your past. So whatever the things that you have overcome in your life, they may be totally different than the ones that I have. I'm sure they are. But you know that struggle personally. You know it. You know the core problem, whatever that problem may be. Let's just say anger. If you had a problem with anger and you had to learn to overcome anger, you understand an anger problem. Okay? But not only do you understand that problem, you understand all the residual side effects that come from that anger problem. The problems that it will cause you with your family, with your health, with your job, with your relationships in general. So you understand a lot of things about that one issue, okay? And then you also understand the victory side of it when you have overcome it. Now, the middle of overcoming something can be an awfully lonely, dark place where you feel like God's abandoned you, which He hasn't. He's right there. As an overcomer with experience, here's what we need to learn from this Italian man who went to Africa. We have to be sensitive enough and good enough listeners to help people with the part of the problem that they need help with first, based on the experience that you have. You know, if someone has an anger problem, and I've went through an anger problem, but just the sheer anger part of it is not the first part of the help they need. Maybe it's ruining their marriage Maybe you have to deal with the relationship part of getting your anger under control there first. You can't fix the whole problem at one time. They're not ready for the whole problem at one time. They're ready for the first part. That's where we have to listen when people are talking to us and help with the need that they have there. Then you can progress on to other parts of the problem with them. Provide relief where it's needed. And it may be totally different than the way that you had to deal with it. But that's okay. That's where they happen to need to start their journey to overcome whatever it may be. That's the 80-foot high wave, if you will, that they need to head straight into. That issue, whatever it is. And it's scary. We all have been there, and we know that. But that's when your faith is ready to spread. When you face that thing and you can get past it. And God helps you get past it. So, I just want to close with the one verse of this song again. It said, "The same man, the great I am, the one who overcame death, is living inside of you. Just hold tight, fix your eyes on the one who holds your life. There's nothing he can't do." And then I like those two scriptures that were after that song. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." So, that's all I've got for you today. When I look out here this morning, I see a room full of overcomers with unique experiences that I don't have. And the ability to help people overcome problems that I don't understand. And to help overcome the part of the problem that I don't understand. And as we do that, and as you do that, our faith starts to spread. So I'm going to close with a word of prayer after that. If anyone wants prayer, we're here and we're more than willing to pray with you. Lord, I want to thank you for your words. I want to thank you that you do things so well. I ask you to help us to have the courage to head straight toward the thing that's hanging us up. Help us to overcome it through you, because of you. And then help us use that experience to spread the faith to those who need it. I thank you for my brothers and sisters here today, Lord. I ask you to bless them. I ask you to just lead them and guide them in every step of the way. And we thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.